Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times filling in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. To all of you out there in the Savage Nation, Michael is taking today off, taking some much friends. We have an absolutely superb show for you today. Michael, I want to thank you so much, my friend, for the tremendous honor and privilege to sit in this wonderful seat and to be your guest fill-in tonight. Michael, I have to tell you, when your producers called me up and said I'd be filling in for the third hour, initially, to me, it was like a chocolate cookie, a delicious chocolate cookie with some milk, just a beautiful way to sort of end my day. But when they said I'd be filling in for the full 3 hours and be able to talk to your wonderful listeners, it was like a massive sundae with chocolate syrup drizzled all over it. It just... Michael, it is just such a wonderful privilege and opportunity to just to guest host for you and to try to fill into your legendary shoes. You truly are the talk radio heavyweight champion of the world, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. To all of you out there, please go to michaelsavage.com. There are some wonderful must-read stories. The police commissioner of the New York PD Commissioner Ray Kelly, has come out and said that the Justice Department did not consult with city officials before deciding to have the trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed moved to New York. The mass murderer, the butcher, Maurice Clemens, who murdered those four cops, an exclusive on michaelsavage.com. He was targeting other school children potentially as well. There are those stories and so much more. But the issue of the hour is now one of the biggest scandals in modern science, and it is now moving from the Atlantic like a hurricane across into the United States, and that is ClimateGate. For those of you not aware of the story, several weeks ago, hackers broke into the Climactic Research Unit, which is the nerve center for climate scientists, a major climate science research center in East Anglia University. These hackers got over 1,000 emails and nearly 3,000 documents and posted them online. And the emails and the internet postings are absolutely shocking. They now convincingly and overwhelmingly show that global warming is a myth. And not only is global warming a myth, but that the science that has been used to fabricate this massive lie, this drive that Al Gore and Barack Obama and every European leftist has been trying for the last decade to pass cap and trade legislation, to have you not drive SUVs, but to have you drive these little death traps, these hybrid cars, now in Europe, they're on three wheels. They're not even on four wheels. These people that want to raise your heating bills, that want to raise your gas bills, that want you to pay more at the pump. These people who passed a cap and trade bill in Congress, which is going to impose a tax of nearly $3,000 for a family of four. These very same people who are trying to destroy the free market and capitalism through the myth of a radical environmental agenda, through the myth of an environmental supposed crisis, through green socialism. Now we have found out that the scientific data, the science that they have been using is a hoax. The emails show conclusively that key members at the Climactic Research Unit, along with American climate scientists like Michael Mann at Penn State, a lying Bolshevik if I ever saw one. Here was this guy going back with Phil Jones, the director of the Climactic Research Unit, where they were openly telling each other, what tricks can we use to hide the real global temperatures? How do we hide the fact that temperatures are not rising, but cooling or flatlining? There was a systematic attempt to destroy emails, to suppress data. Everything they did in their power to try to make sure that all of the overwhelming evidence, all of the evidence showing global warming to be a hoax and a fraud, would somehow be suppressed or manipulated or covered up. This is the greatest scandal in modern science. And now we have learned that now NASA may be involved. The two key institutes that have been pushing the agenda of green socialism is the Climactic Research Unit in East Anglia University and NASA. And now people in the United States are asking that NASA provide their data that they have been using to cook the books on global warming. And NASA is now trying to stonewall them. Christopher Horner, a key fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, has come out and asked that why has NASA changed its data over the last several years? For a while, they said the hottest year was 1998. Then they changed it to 1934. Now it's back to 1998 and 2006. Horner is now asking, what kind of raw data do you use at NASA? What are the emails that have been exchanged among your scientists? Have you been suppressing information? He has now made a Freedom of Information Request Act. NASA is now stalling and stonewalling him. My friends, ClimateGate is now coming to America. And with it, the entire green agenda of the Liberal Democratic Party is now going to go up in smoke. And they know it. And the hero in all of this, people are cynical about politics, and they should be. Because frankly, as I've witnessed for many years here in Washington, D.C., most of the politicians on Capitol Hill, Republican or Democrat, don't give a damn about you, the American people. They have been lining their pockets, and they have been lying to you on issue after issue, betraying you at every turn. But there are some good men and women, some honorable men and women. And one of them is Senator James Inhofe, Oklahoma Republican. And I want to personally salute him right now, because for years, he has been a lone voice, a voice of courage, a voice of honor, who has said that the science has been cooked, that global warming scientists, all of these climate change scientists, have been perpetrating a massive fraud upon the American people. They have been lying to you, and they have been using it with false or doctored evidence. And Inhofe is now calling for a thorough congressional investigation. What did you know, and when did you know it? And why have you been trying to falsely whip up hysteria against the American people using fear-mongering that the world is going to come to an end, when you knew all along that the science was faulty and manipulative? And yet, remarkably, instead of embracing this common sense call, here you have a massive crisis, a crisis of confidence in the scientific community, a crisis that is engulfing England, that is engulfing Europe. Amazingly, the Democrats are denying it. And even more remarkably, Senator Barbara Boxer, California Democrat, the chair of the Senate Environmental Committee, a lunatic leftist if there ever was one. Remember, this is the woman that in 2004 said Bush had stolen the election against John Kerry. She called for an investigation into 2004, into the election. She wanted to be shown and proven that Bush and Rove had somehow stolen the election and perpetrated a huge fraud upon the American people. This woman who can't find There's no gun that she doesn't want to confiscate from you. This woman who, for her, the ideal healthcare system is Castro's Cuba. She has now come out. Check this out, my friends. She has now come out and said there will be an investigation, but not into the climactic research unit, not into East Anglia University, not even to the American climate scientists who have contributed to this global warming fraud. No, there is going to be a probe against the whistleblowers, against the hackers, against those that broke into the computer service system at East Anglia and hacked into their computers and revealed and exposed this massive fraud. In other words, she is looking to crucify and humiliate and smear those who have done the world a huge favor, those who have spoken truth to power. It is remarkable. And here is Barbara Boxer in her own words. Boys, roll clip one.
You call it climate gate. I call it email theft gate. Whatever it is, the main issue is, are we facing global warming or are we not? I'm sure you would agree that's the basic question for us. I'm looking at these emails that I can, that have been, even though they were stolen, they are now out in the public, and we are looking through these emails. We are also calling the leading scientists of the world. We may well have a hearing on this. We may not. We may have a briefing for senators. We may not. We're looking at this.
We're looking at this? She calls it email theft gate? Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? What you are now seeing, my friends, is no clearer example of what I have been saying for years. Today's Greens are yesterday's Reds. You scratch Barbara Boxer. You scratch Al Gore. What you get is not a green center, but a red center. You get socialism and Marxism. And liberalism is a pseudo-religion. And now, their faith is being challenged. Their dogmatic faith in global warming is being challenged, and they don't like it. So what are they doing? They are now on a witch hunt. They are now out to persecute and crucify those that have exposed the sham, the superstitious sham that was global warming. And so I want to hear from you, members of the Savage Nation. Do you believe that James Inhofe is a more credible person to lead this investigation into global warming? Or do you trust Barbara Boxer to get to the bottom of ClimateGate? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is a crime, and I would ask unanimous consent to place into the record Section 1030 of the U.S. Criminal Code, fraud and related activity in connection with computers, having knowingly accessed a computer without authorization. It goes on calling it a crime. So part of our looking at this will be looking at a criminal activity which could well have been coordinated.
Republican Senator James Inhofe, who has called the science behind climate change a hoax, says he wants an investigation.
My reaction was somewhat vindication because I gave a speech on the Senate floor 4 years ago. And in a related conversations where scientists had come to me and saying that this is not objective science, they won't allow dissenting views and all these things that are in these memos now.
Members of the Savage Nation, there you have it. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I want to hear from you, 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe that Barbara Boxer should conduct a criminal investigation against those hackers who broke into East Anglia's computer system and got those emails and posted them up for everybody to see that the scientific data that has been used to buttress the supposed argument for global warming has now been shown to have been deliberately distorted, to be deliberately manipulated, and in many ways suppressed anything that refuted or contradicted the claim of global warming? She now says the real crime is not the distortion and the manipulation and the suppression of evidence. The crime is the hacking. Or do you side with Senator Inhofe, who said now he has been fully vindicated in the eyes of the world? Global warming is a huge myth. It is a hoax and it is a fraud. And my friends, I have to tell you this. On this one, I believe Inhofe is completely right. He is right on many issues, but on this one, he couldn't be more right. What we are now witnessing, whether we know it or not, is now the beginning of the end of the green socialist agenda. And now Al Gore and all of these phonies who have been making millions and millions of dollars off of the myth of global warming are now being exposed for the shysters and the liars that they are. And it's about time. Let's go to Bill in New York. Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I would rather trust Barney Frank as my proctologist than I would trust Barbara Boxer in anything she does. And I have to say that I'm not as optimistic about this going away, I hate to say it, because the entire mindset of the group of people we're talking about who believe this stuff, it's been inculcated for many, many years, since birth. And if you look at how long it takes, for example, the Eastern European countries to wake up and get out of their funk from socialism all these years, I don't think this is going to go away very fast. What do you think?
Bill, look, that's an excellent point, my friend, and I want to thank you for that call. Liberalism is a religion. It's even worse than a religion. It's a superstition. And now their fundamental dogmatic beliefs are being questioned and they're being exposed for the lies that they are. And yet, rather than facing up to this, you're right, Bill, they are digging in their heels. Obama's going to go to the UN climate summit next week and they are going to fight for global warming. But we have the truth. We have the evidence. We have morality on our side. If we keep pressing, we have them right where we want them. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the talk radio heavyweight champion of the world, Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. Do you trust Barbara Boxer to get to the bottom of ClimateGate? Do you agree with her that these hackers committed a crime and that they should be prosecuted? I want to hear from you, the great listeners of the Savage Nation. Let's go to Harry in Florida. Harry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. I just want to say that the hypocrisy and the irony about Barbara Boxer is just grotesque. I mean, what were the Pentagon Papers and Daniel Ellsberg all about? That was an illegal action on his part. He spilled the beans, right? In other words, this is nothing more than whistleblowing. If it's true that this should be prosecuted, then every whistleblower who uncovers malfeasance has to be prosecuted, and that's the end of whistleblowers, right? You see what I mean?
Harry, exactly. What they did was the equivalent of whistleblowing. They came in there, and they did the American public, they did the world a favor. And what they did was, make no mistake about it, they drove a stake right through the heart of the entire myth of global warming. And now you're seeing Barbara Boxer like a caged animal. She's now lashing out. But you see, I'm not surprised because I have to deal with these liberals on a day-to-day basis here in Washington. And I can tell you this, it is a faith for them. It is a pseudo-religion for them. And at the basis of that faith is that God doesn't exist. So if God doesn't exist, you have to create salvation here on earth. And they have been trying to ram through their dream of a socialist workers' paradise really for about the last 70 to 80 years. And they thought they had it. With the fall of the Berlin Wall, when it seemed that capitalism had been triumphant, what did the left do? Did they admit that they were wrong? Did they admit that the Soviet Union was a menace to the United States? Did they admit that capitalism was superior to socialism? No. They then said, let's look for something else. And they found it in the pseudo-environmental movement, in the pseudo-green movement. And so suddenly they weren't red politically, they were green politically. And they were for recycling, and they were for opposition to global warming. Because you see, according to Al Gore, Harry, the ice caps are going to melt. The cities are going to be flooded. Sea levels are going to rise. Hundreds of millions of people are going to die from drought. It's going to be the greatest catastrophe since Noah's Ark. It's apocalypse. What I find absolutely stunning is here we are facing a radical jihadist enemy that is within our midst. They murdered, Nidal Hassan murdered 13 soldiers at Fort Hood, a radical jihadist. They are killing our soldiers in Afghanistan. They're killing our soldiers in Iraq. The mullahs in Iran are on the verge of acquiring a nuclear bomb. We are now faced with the threat of radical Islam, a real conspiracy, a real crisis. No, according to Obama, guys, no. The real problem is global warming. The real problem is global warming. The real problem is capitalism. The real problem is man-made carbon emissions, man-made greenhouse gases. And now this is blowing up right in their face. And so what are they doing now? It is like the Spanish Inquisition. You go after anybody that questions your faith. Liberals always claim that they're rational, but deep down they're not. They're the exact opposite. They're profoundly irrational. And now when you challenge them, when you show how wrong they are, they don't admit that they're wrong. They just attack, attack, attack. And so now Obama's going to go to the UN climate summit. And what is he going to do? He is going to try to sign a treaty that in that very treaty calls for a new world government with new international taxes. In other words, they want international socialism, and the environment and global warming is the way to go to get there. That's their vehicle. That's their silver bullet. And now they are being exposed for the charlatans and the frauds that they are. And my friends, if we keep at it, if we keep exposing this, ClimateGate, mark my words, I'm saying this very carefully, ClimateGate is bigger than Watergate. ClimateGate will destroy the entire ideological infrastructure of the radical environmental movement as we know it. What is at stake here is the final triumph of capitalism over socialism, and the liberals know it. And that's why they can't admit that they're wrong. Let's go to Adam in Houston. Adam, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that these whistleblowers are true patriots. As what methods are we supposed to use, the people, if the media is controlling and buying everything that comes out of the government and doesn't dispute any of the facts?
Oh, Adam, you're completely right. I mean, these guys to me are true patriots. They're people who said, you know what? I see a fraud. I see a cabal. I see a bunch of lying scientists who are driven by politics. And this is the part that amazes me. Scientists are supposed to go and follow the evidence wherever it leads. Scientists are supposed to be objective. What this shows is how politicized global warming and climate change has made the entire scientific community. And the reason why is this. It's why I'm a conservative. It's why I know with every fiber in my being, because it's confirmed to me every day, covering these shysters, these political crackheads here in Capitol Hill, these Democrats. What I see every day is the corruption of big government liberalism. You had tens of billions of dollars sloshing around in the international system. Your taxpayer money, Adam, my taxpayer money, the American people's taxpayer money, money from people all across Europe. And it was going to research grants, to universities, to consulting firms, to law firms, which Al Gore is a partner of. All of these people had a vested interest in ringing the global alarming bell and ringing the global alarm, the global warming alarm. Suddenly, the world was coming to an end, and they dangled more and more money and gave them more and more money. So what did they do? They cooked the books. They lied to get more research money. This is what government does. It corrupts everything. It corrupts our families. It corrupts our economy. It corrupts our science. It corrupts our education system. Wherever government goes, it is like a cancer. And now we are realizing it has destroyed what we thought was one of the last bastions of true objectivity, science. Well, now we're finding out these scientists are basically political hacks. They're nothing better than political hacks. So now Phil Jones, the director of CRU of the Climactic Research Unit, has stepped down. Michael Mann is under fire. But the guys I really want to get are the guys at NASA, because they're the ones that have been pushing it here in the United States. It's their data that Al Gore relies on. So now Chris Horner has called their bluff. He said, you know what? Here's a Freedom of Information Request Act. Show me your raw data. Show me your emails. And all of a sudden, they don't want to answer him. Suddenly it's silence. Al Gore has been asking for a debate. We're giving him one. Where are you, Al? Let's go to Steve in Las Vegas. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I would first like to say that these entrepreneurial spirits that have uncovered this should be given the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's, you know what, Steve? I got to tell you, they have done this country and the world a tremendous service. But Steve, look, let's be very frank now among all of us here in the Savage Nation. We don't live in normal times. We live now in an ideologically charged age. We now live in an age of corruption and of mendacity, and we see it everywhere we go. These guys are now being targeted by Barbara Boxer. Look at our poor Navy SEALs, those three guys. They captured the mastermind of the greatest atrocity that occurred in the Iraq War. Four of our civilians, security guards, were ambushed by this terrorist. Then their bodies were burned and mutilated and dragged through the streets of Fallujah with these animals shooting their guns in the air, celebrating. And then two of them were hung from a bridge over the Euphrates River. And this terrorist went out and said here to the world press, photograph them. This is America. This is what we have done to these Americans. And furthermore, this terrorist butchered innocent Iraqi women and children. They beheaded people. And these three Navy SEALs captured him in September. You think they'd be given a medal. And instead, they're now facing court-martial. Over what? Over what? Allegedly because they punched this guy in the lip when they held him? A little bloody lip? I'm originally from Canada. We all play hockey in Canada. Do you know how many bloody lips I got growing up? Hey, you got a little excited. We dropped the gloves. Let's go. Let's get at it a little bit. Big deal. Now this guy with a bloody lip is claiming torture and abuse. First of all, I don't even believe they touched him. I believe he hit himself. And then claimed torture and abuse, as Bin Laden has told all these guys. But let that go. Even if they did. They are now being held on trial. We now give rights to terrorists. We now give more rights to terrorists than we do to the victims. If you're Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, you get a civilian trial. These three Navy SEALs, they're not getting a civilian trial. They're being court-martialed. Oh, a military tribunal for our troops. But Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, no problem. You get a civilian trial paid for by the taxpayer, by the American taxpayer. This is the insanity of liberalism. And this is why. This is what Obama doesn't understand. In a way, people never understand it. They go, Jeff, are you sad? Are you pessimistic? Unlike many conservative talk show hosts, I'm not. I swear to you, I'm not. Because to me, Obama is the best thing. He is Santa Claus. He is the gift that keeps on giving. Because now, we had Bush. We had that phony conservative for 8 years. We had to put up with Clinton, who had to battle with Newt Gingrich. We never truly saw a pure liberal experiment in America. You wanted hope and change? Now you got it, America. And now we are seeing liberalism in all of its deformed, perverse, evil essence. Its destructive essence. It is now destroying our economy. It is destroying our national security. And it is destroying our respect and prestige on the international stage. And now the American people are seeing with their own eyes, through now this laboratory that Obama has put us in, we are now seeing with our own eyes the failure and the bankruptcy of liberalism. You are now seeing a conservative resurgence like nothing in my lifetime. Members of the Savage Nation, this Climategate thing is only beginning. And when it comes out, that NASA also suppressed the evidence. And when it comes out that this fraud is now gone all the way up to the likes of Al Gore, this is going to make Watergate pale in comparison. Green socialism is dying in our midst. And after we take care of the green socialists, we're going to go after the Obama liberals. Their days are numbered because we now see nothing but failure and ruin around them. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back after this break.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, filling in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Please go to michaelsavage.com. All of you out there, there are some absolutely superb, superb stories. Michael does an incredible job with his website. You have the absolute latest stuff. There's another important story you can't get almost anywhere else. You won't find it in the mainstream media. Iran and Hezbollah are now developing a direct connection into the United Nations, and they are willing potentially now to have access to very sensitive military and intelligence information at the UN Security Council. It is a barn burner of a story, and you can find it by going to michaelsavage.com. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Do you trust Barbara Boxer to get to the bottom of ClimateGate? I want to hear from you, the great members of the Savage Nation. Let's go to our next caller, Tom in New York. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, God bless you.
Oh, thanks,
Jeff,
Tom.
How about we, since Al Corleone's car company should have been in this country where we could have gotten the jobs, but be that as it may, let's get the $600 million back because it was based on a fraud.
Tom, listen, you are, my friend, you're completely right. I mean, what has been going on in this country with this to me, this is a giant Ponzi scheme. What you are seeing with global warming, what you are seeing with the likes of Al Gore, this is a massive Ponzi scheme being perpetrated upon the American people. And this is what gets my blood boiling, Tom, is that my parents and grandparents fled communist Eastern Europe. I know the reality of what communism was. And what the communists kept saying is, we believe in equality. Everybody has to be equal. But in reality, the overwhelming majority of people, the working stiffs, were shafted. They were oppressed. They were impoverished. But you had a privileged ruling elite with their dachas and their Mercedes and their cars and their banquets and their buffets. And this is what's happening under green socialism. Al Gore wants all of you to turn your air conditioning down, to turn your heating down, to not drive your SUVs, to not go out there and drive your pickup trucks. He wants all of you to sacrifice. In fact, according to these people, cow flatulence, I swear to you, cow flatulence leads to greenhouse gas emissions. So don't eat so much steak. Don't eat steak. Don't eat chicken. All of this is a massive racket because Al Gore himself, look at his house. I mean, I'd be embarrassed to have a house like that. His massive indoor swimming pool, his massive mansion, burning, what, 7,000 times more power and emitting more carbon than the average American. He travels around in his private jet. He works for these prestigious law firms, all of whom have vested interests in the global warming agenda. Many of them, in fact, promote ethanol. Well, of course, ethanol is lining the pockets of Al Gore and his cronies. That's why they're promoting ethanol. But no, he's doing it for the good of America. He's the great liberal prophet. He's the one that's warning us from impending doom. And then you have that charlatan, Prince Charles. I mean, you want one reason, just one, why you should have seceded from Britain, why America was right to secede from England in 1776. Look at that guy. That guy would have been your future head of state. This guy is going around saying, we have until 2016. The world's going to come. It's going to be too late. The world's come. It's not 2020. It's not 2030. No, it's 2016. After 2016, it's too late. We can't pull back from the brink. All of this fear mongering. and all these people making money hand over fist. And now we've caught them red-handed. They have been lying, lying through their teeth. And now the American people are saying, enough is enough. And I'm telling you, this climate gate is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And this time, it's going to bring Al Gore and all of his liberal cronies crashing down. Let's go to Marsha in Texas. Marsha, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. Well, we got a little bit of a chilly spell going here. So anyhow, I've got wondering how it is that this story has been out. I believe Fox News has done a very good job in covering it. So has talk radio. Where are the rest of them? When are they going to even bring it to the forefront? I mean, they don't even mention it.
Marsha, that's the $64,000 question. You are completely right. The mainstream media is complicit with their silence, and their silence is an admission of guilt. But if we keep pressing this story, we now have the evidence. It's like Watergate. It took time to mushroom. It took time to develop. But believe me, the Achilles heel, the one that's going to ignite this thing, the match that's going to light this thing. They want to talk about warming? Wait till this story takes up, burns up and takes off. When NASA is caught red-handed, having fabricated the evidence, and it's going to come out very soon, my friends, then it's going to implicate everybody else in the United States, and even the New York Times and the Washington Post will not be able to cover it up. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off today taking a much needed thank you so much, my friend, for the wonderful opportunity and honor to guest host for you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it and how much it means to me. To all of you out there and the members of the Savage Nation, go to michaelsavage.com. There are some absolute wall banger of stories, some superb stories. One of them, agents have now, the Secret Service agents at the state dinner who allowed the Salafis to basically crash the party. Those Secret Service agents have now been put on leave. And it is another example of the treachery that exists within this administration. And speaking of political treachery, remarkably, Karl Rove, the architect, George Bush's key political advisor, the man who orchestrated Bush's 2000 election victory and his 2004 re-election victory, along with that other phony conservative, Newt Gingrich, both of these two supposedly leading lights of the conservative movement, have now come out in full support of the Obama search. Gingrich has come out and applauded Obama for his supposed courage in taking on the anti-war left of his own party. And Karl Rove has now come out and publicly praised Obama, saying that he has made the right decision in Afghanistan. And what I find absolutely amazing is how wrong these two men are. They claim themselves to be conservative. They say that they are conservative, and yet now they are supporting the most liberal of war efforts. For make no mistake about it, members of the Savage Nation, what Obama announced Tuesday night was more than just an escalation of the war in Afghanistan. What he did was repeat the tragic mistakes committed by Lyndon Johnson in the buildup to Vietnam. We are now turning Afghanistan into another Vietnam. For what Obama did was he made the greatest error that a commander-in-chief can make. He has now told the enemy, those butchers, those radical jihadists in the caves and mountains of Afghanistan, the Taliban and their Al-Qaeda supporters, that the Americans are going to be there for only 18 months. And not only are we giving ourselves a strict timeline, but we are also announcing our strategy to the entire world and to the enemy. We know we're going to go into southern Afghanistan. We're going to try to fortify and hold key cities like Kandahar, and we are going to abandon the countryside. Never before in the history of warfare, in all of the wars that the United States has been in, have we announced not only our strategy, but the timeline by which we're going to fight this war. Can you imagine if we stormed the beaches of Normandy in 1944 on D-Day and we announced to the Germans ahead of time, yes, we're going to go on the coast of France, we're going to go specifically on Normandy, here's how many troops we're going to be using, and oh, by the way, if we don't win this thing in about a year, we're going to come back. Can you imagine if Franklin Roosevelt even said that, even thought that? The American people, they would have been a coup. The American people would have gone insane. They would have lined up the streets. The troops would have said, are you kidding me? And this is exactly what Barack Obama has done. But even worse than his ineptness, even worse than his incompetence, is he is now asking us to send 30,000 of our best young and women, the cream of our youth, the cream of our nation, to go in and die for an exit strategy. We are going to send them into that giant death trap that is Afghanistan, the graveyard of empires. And we are going to send in more troops under strict rules of engagement, with both hands tied behind their backs. Now, our troops can't attack at night. They can't attack civilian populations. They now can't even rough up terrorists or Taliban insurgents if they capture them. They almost have to read them their Miranda rights. And we expect to win this war? We are now putting those brave young men and women in an impossible situation. And just like in Vietnam, we are dramatically escalating our involvement with the politicians in Washington hamstringing our military at every turn. The great myth about Vietnam is that we lost Vietnam. We never lost one battle in Vietnam. Name me one. I challenge anybody out there. All of you anti-war leftists that secretly listen to the Savage Nation, although you don't have the guts to admit it to your friends, I challenge you to call me and name me one, just one battle that the American forces lost in Vietnam. We never lost one. But we turned a military victory into a political defeat because our politicians in Washington did not have the stomach, did not have the will, did not have the backbone to see that war through and do what was necessary to win. And we are now repeating that very same tragic mistake. In Vietnam, we lost 58,000. Of our men and women. 58,000 men dead for a pointless, senseless war because the liberals that ran it didn't have the guts to win it. And now we are going to do the exact same thing and send our troops into a no-win situation. For what? So Obama can look good to the Democratic Party? So Obama can brag to the American people that he tried to do something on Afghanistan? And what is to me most criminal, what to me is frankly scandalous, is that Barack Obama, if you notice the timeline, it is all political. They're in and out in less than 18 months. And when are they supposed to start coming back? July 2011. I wonder. What is starting to happen in the summer and fall of 2011? Oh, the re-election campaign is starting to heat up. Now the Republicans are going to be looking for their contender to challenge Obama in 2012. And now he's going to have to placate his anti-war liberal base. He doesn't want massive protests on the streets. So what he's now told the American people, and what he told those cadets at West Point, is now this is the epicenter of the fight against terrorism. This is now the greatest threat to the security of the world. Everything now hangs in the balance. So I'm going to send you there, but be back in 18 months. It is absolutely insane, bordering on the criminal. And yet, rather than having the guts to stand up and say, excuse me, Mr. Obama, Mr. President, you have betrayed our troops. You have betrayed those that have already sacrificed their lives in Afghanistan. You have betrayed this country and its national interest. Look at these supposed pseudo-conservative shysters. Now, all looking to seem, well, we're bipartisan. You see, we're not hacks. We don't just criticize Obama for the sake of criticizing Obama. We're even-handed. No, we're going to score some brownie points with the liberal media elite. So Karl Rove can look good as an objective analyst. So Newt Gingrich can set up his run in 2012 and tell the American people, I didn't oppose the president all the time. No, I reach out to Democrats. On education, I stand with Al Sharpton. On healthcare, I stand with Hillary Clinton and do speeches with her. With Barack Obama, I supported his decision to send 30,000 troops. And this is the lie about Karl Rove. I've never liked Karl Rove for many reasons. He is, first of all, a political consultant. He is a Republican hack, first and foremost. And all he ever cares about is getting votes for the Republican Party. He doesn't give a damn about the American people, and he never gave a damn about conservative principles or conservative values. This was the guy who told George Bush, sign the prescription drug benefit for seniors. That's going to win you the senior vote, even though it was a huge entitlement. He's the one that told Bush, federalize education. Now we're going to have government running our education system. He was the one that told Bush, give amnesty to illegal immigrants. We will have Hispanics come into the Republican Party in big numbers. He is not a conservative. He is a liberal Republican. He is a great society Republican. And he is the reason why the conservative movement was smashed and discredited under George Bush. He is the reason why we have Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barack Obama in power. He is the guy that set up that puppet George Bush to now allow these liberal socialists, these national socialists, to come in here and now wreak havoc upon the United States. And this is the guy that we're supposed to look to on Fox News as one of our conservative leaders? I'm sorry, not for Jeff Cooner. I'm sorry. I believe in people who speak truth to power. I believe in people who say the truth, even if it's not popular. So if many conservatives don't have the guts to say it, I will say it. Mr. President, you are the bankrupt president of a bankrupt government, and you are now sending our troops into another Vietnam. And you know what, sir? You have now betrayed those troops and you have betrayed this country. If you had an ounce of patriotism in you, you wouldn't play politics with the lives of our troops. My question to all of you, members of the Savage Nation, why is Karl Rove and Newt Gingrich, why are they supporting this troop surge? Do you support Obama's troop surge? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. What do you think about Newt Gingrich and Karl Rove supporting Obama's surge? Do you agree or disagree with them? and overall members of the Savage Nation. Do you support Obama's surge or do you oppose it? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Chuck in Chicago. Chuck, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, thanks for letting me get on your station. I'm against it because I got drafted in the Marine Corps back in 65, and I went over there. I went to Denver. You hear me, Jeff? I don't know if
you hear you. You're on the air, Chuck. Okay. Go ahead.
And I got drafted there, and I thought, well, this is a bummer, you know, coming over there. But then I figured, well, it's a good cause to fight communism over there instead of having socialism come to this country. Boy, was I wrong, huh? Years later. But anyway, LBJ, Kennedy, McNamara, they were running the war. And you got these politicians running it for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. It's got to have something to do with money because I don't know why we're in Afghanistan. I don't think we should send those guys over there. And Charlie Rangel had a bill a couple years ago. He was going to have a draft reinstated, and then he didn't vote for his own bill. And I was against that myself at the time, but I'm thinking now maybe that's not a bad idea to get people drafted here, to get them riled up, that they got to go to some stupid war that these politicians decide that we have to go to.
Chuck,
you know, maybe that's what it takes. You get all these people that are professional, they're volunteers, and a lot of the draftees that I was with performed just as well. I'm not saying that we should do this, but maybe that's the way to get a groundswell going
Chuck,
these people.
Chuck, I want to thank you for your service, and I want to say this because you make some very excellent points, Chuck. But in particular, I want to speak to you now because you're a former Vietnam War vet, and I know many Vietnam War vets here in Washington. If there's one point I want to stress to you, Chuck, is that your cause was just and it was noble. We saw what happened when the communists won and took over in Vietnam. They unleashed a genocide and a Holocaust. Over a million Vietnamese fled as boat people on the high seas. And the ethnic Chinese, over 300,000, were butchered. In neighboring Cambodia, Pol Pot unleashed a Holocaust, killing over several million Cambodians. The withdrawal of American power from Vietnam brought about one of the worst atrocities in all of human history. When you went to fight in the jungles of Vietnam, you fought one of the most just wars that we have ever fought because communism was truly evil and communism sought to destroy the United States. What was wrong with Vietnam, Chuck, is that you were betrayed. You and all of your fellow soldiers, because you were not given the tools, the support, and the resources to win. Nobody is going to tell me that some small jungle nation can stand up for 1 month against the full power of the United States. And is the same thing now in Afghanistan. If we truly have to destroy the Taliban, if we truly have to destroy Al-Qaeda, here is the speech I would have given. And this is the speech that a Churchillian conservative would have given. I would have gotten up, not in West Point. I would have done it straight from the White House. And I would have said, my fellow Americans, today I speak to you from your house, the people's house. And this White House exists because of the sacrifice of generations of our forefathers who have given everything for freedom and liberty. And I am now telling this to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. You say you want to kill us. You say you want another 9/11. Okay, you call down the thunder. Now I'm going to bring the thunder. We are not going to be there for 18 months. We are going to be there for 100 years. General McChrystal has not asked for 40,000 troops. I'm giving him 80, 100, 150,000 troops. And I am telling you, we will bomb the caves of Afghanistan to rubble. We will fight until we kill every single one of you. By the time we are done, not one of you will stand. Your children and your grandchildren will not believe what we did to you. And if we said that, if we delivered that speech, believe me, Chuck, the world and our enemy would look at us very differently. But this is the problem. We cannot fight a liberal war. It is a contradiction in terms. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. I want to hear from you. Do you support Obama's troop surge? And what do you think about the fact that Newt Gingrich and Karl Rove have come out in support of Obama's new Afghan war strategy? I want to hear from you. My friends, Hillary Clinton was up on Capitol Hill both today and yesterday trying to defend, to me, the indefensible. And if you listen to her language and if you listen to her words, what Hillary Clinton is saying is that we are now going to send in 30,000 troops, not only for a military mission, but a civilian mission. We are there to do nation building. We are there to act almost as peacekeepers. We are there. I mean, our soldiers shouldn't come in with green helmets. They should come in with blue helmets, according to Hillary Clinton. And this is the problem with the entire surge strategy. You do not send in our soldiers on a limited time frame where the enemy knows exactly where we're coming and how long we're going to stay, because then they can just wait us out. In fact, just today, the Taliban came out with a statement scoffing at Obama, laughing at his timeline, saying that they will crush us in Afghanistan and simply wait us out. And yet the whole time we have the rules of engagement that are now so tying the hands of our soldiers, it is now impossible for them to win. And just like in Vietnam, our politicians are micromanaging a war, and they are not allowing our men and women and our military personnel to fight and win. Have you noticed when Hillary went to the Hill yesterday, when Obama delivered his speech on Tuesday night, there was no strategy for victory. There was only a strategy on how to get out before the 2012 election campaign. This is what is most despicable about all of this. And now we have the grotesque spectacle of the Secretary of State. First of all, why is she even there? I mean, she's supposed to be our chief diplomat. Obama is our commander-in-chief. He's the one that has control over the military. She's in charge of our diplomats, but let that go. She is now telling everybody that will listen that our job there is to nation build. Our job there is a civilian military partnership. Excuse me? Is this a war or is it not a war? Listen to Hillary in her own words. Boys, roll the clip.
The men and women carrying out this military civilian mission are not members of a list or items on a PowerPoint slide. They are our friends and neighbors, our sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters, and we will be asking them and the American people to make extraordinary sacrifices on behalf of our security. We will do everything we can to make sure their sacrifices are honored and make our nation safer.
Madam Secretary, with all due respect, that is a lie, and you know it. And you know it's a lie. Lie number one, if you care about our troops, why don't you give McChrystal the 40,000 that he's asked for? Why nickel and dime him with 30,000? Two, why don't you give them the rules of engagement to win this war? Why don't you unleash the dogs of war upon Afghanistan? And to me, most importantly, why tie our troops down with an artificial timeline to suit your political purposes and that of your commander-in-chief? This is crass Democratic politics at its worst. This is the Democrats thinking about their re-election campaign, and they are now going to use our men and women as cannon fodder for their political strategy. This, to me, is a political scandal of the highest order. Let's go to Tom in Chicago. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Jeff, I've been thinking about this day and night since the speech, and I can't support it for the reasons you stated, because of the Miranda rights, of not letting the soldiers do their jobs. If they're going to be sent over there and their hands are going to be tied, it's almost like, what's the point if they're not going to be allowed to do what they're trained to do?
Well, you know, Tom, you're right. And it's even worse than that. I mean, this is what's, if they do anything to capture a terrorist, they could be court-martialed. They could be, now you have the spectacle. This is, I mean, here's something the mainstream media hasn't even touched on. I don't even know if Michael did. The International Criminal Court, that leftist international transnational organization, which claims jurisdiction over the entire world. Afghanistan is a signatory. They have signed as on the treaty of the ICC. The chief prosecutor of the ICC, of the International Criminal Court, has now publicly said, not only is he going to look at war crimes committed by the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, but check this out, war crimes committed by the American military. And since Afghanistan is a signatory to the ICC, our troops could be held criminally liable. They could be sent to The Hague to face criminal prosecution. This is the death trap that they are sending our kids into. And Hillary Clinton runs around to Europe and she's apologizing in Brussels why America hasn't signed the ICC. This is why we haven't signed the ICC, because it will put our troops in jeopardy. And this is the whole point. This war has nothing to do with victory in Afghanistan. It is all about Obama getting himself reelected. It is all about him catering, looking tough, catering to the American people, saying, oh yeah, I'm a tough wartime president. McChrystal asked for 40,000 troops. Well, I stood up to McChrystal. You know, I'm the civilian commander in chief. He answers to me, but I gave him 30,000. And we gave it the old college try. What he's doing, mark my words, he is setting up Karzai to be the fall guy. They're sending our troops in. They're going to use them to just temporarily quell the insurgency. Just enough. Push them back just enough. The situation is stabilized. Send them back home. Declare victory. And then when everything goes to hell in Afghanistan, after the 2012 election, then, oh, it's not my fault. It's Karzai's fault. And then we're going to have to deal with a real mess in Afghanistan. And this is why I've been telling people, we're not, believe me, my friends, we're not going to leave Afghanistan. Even if we withdraw our troops, we're going to have to go back in. But when we go back in the next time, we should go in the way we did in World War II. You go in heavy, you go in strong, you show no pity. We burned Germany to rubble in World War II. We dropped 2 atomic bombs on Japan, on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This was a country serious about victory. We are no longer serious about victory, and the Islamists know it, and that's why the Taliban believe they have us on the run. Let's go to John in Pittsburgh. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I support the surge. I believe that they have what they need. Actually, I don't think they have enough, but I think that they can rebuild that country just like they did with Germany and Japan. I mean, after the war, they built up Germany and Japan.
Well, John, here's a couple of points. What I don't understand is this. You say that by your own admission, they don't have enough. If they don't have enough, why should we send them in? Would you send cops in to clean out a crack house with a bunch of murderous thugs if they didn't have enough weaponry and enough firepower?
No, I think that they needed to send in the whole 80,000, and I think that it would have been a lot better. I think Obama was really dumb for not sending in that many. I think that they needed to send in more, give him exactly what he wanted, go in and there, rebuild the country. Look at Japan.
And John, that's the problem. He didn't give McChrystal what he needs, and everybody knows it. This is a sham. This is a political surge. This is not a man who is serious about victory. In fact, he has openly said he doesn't want to use the term victory because that would be too insulting to the Taliban and to the people in the Muslim world. This is a commander in chief. I understand our troops fight for their nation, but they also fight for their commander in chief. The commander in chief is ultimately their leader. If he is not serious about victory, if he doesn't have the stomach to decapitate and destroy our enemy, if he truly doesn't love America enough that he is willing to put his presidency on the line, this is what it takes to win a war. Say what you want about George Bush. I had a lot of criticisms of Bush, believe me. But when he announced his surge in 2007, he knew he was putting everything on the line. He didn't give a time frame. He didn't give a date for withdrawal. He did what was politically unpopular. You look at all of the wars that we've won, from World War II to World War I to the Civil War to the Revolutionary War. It was total war for total victory. Where is the total war? We don't ask anybody to be drafted. We don't ask anybody to sacrifice. To me, it is profoundly immoral It is so immoral for us to have to ask a select group of Americans, a volunteer force, to now fight for 8 years in defense of our freedoms. They weren't attacked on a they weren't the only ones attacked on 9/11, our troops. We were attacked on 9/11. They are defending us against people who want to murder us. And yet nobody is willing to sacrifice. Nobody wants to sacrifice like we did in World War II. And I have to say this. I deal with the military here all the time. It is one of my great privileges as being a journalist at the Washington Times. I meet these young men and women. They are the salt of the earth. They are the most patriotic, decent, idealistic people you will ever meet. And I will never forget one man, 22 years of age, his whole life in front of him. He came back from serving in Iraq. He lost his knee and his limb. He has to wear a plastic knee, a plastic limb for the rest of his life. You see this young man walking around in a cane, deep dark circles under his eyes. He admitted to me, "Jeff, I haven't slept properly in 6 months. I go to bed tired. I wake up tired. I lost my best friends there. We can win this war as long as we have a chance. Can you tell the politicians, just give us a chance? Don't stab us in the back. Don't tie our hands. We can beat them. We're the United States of America. And we can't even stand up as a nation and tell Barack Obama, excuse me, sir, did you see those men and women in the crowd? Those beautiful, young, wholesome faces at West Point? These are the men and women. Some of them 18, 19, 20, their whole lives in front of them. You are going to send many of them to their deaths. And you can't give them what they need? You're going to tell me that now it's suddenly too expensive? All of a sudden, these liberal Democrats, you have David Obey, you have all these guys, Congressman Obey, they're running around Capitol Hill. We need a war tax. We need a war tax. This has to be deficit neutral. Oh, we can't afford it. But they can afford $1 trillion for their stimulus package to buy off all their Democratic constituency cronies. They got money for that to bribe all these, to bribe the Hispanic groups, the African-American groups, the labor unions. Everybody got bought off who supported the Democratic Party under that stimulus package. Oh, they have $1 trillion for health care. That they have to buy more votes. They have $1 trillion for cap and trade. Suddenly, we can put that on our national credit card. That we can borrow. But now, when it comes to defending our troops, we don't have the money. Obama himself in the speech, we're in a recession now. We don't have limitless means. Suddenly now we're into limits. Suddenly now we care about the deficit. This is treason. There is no other word for it. This is a betrayal. And this is why I say, no soldier should die for an exit strategy. They should die for one reason and one reason only, and that is victory. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. Do you agree with Obama's surge strategy? What do you think about the fact that some prominent conservatives or pseudo-conservatives like Newt Gingrich and Karl Rove are fully supporting Obama's new Afghan war strategy? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Alex in Portland. Alex, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I want to ask you a question, Jeff. I was listening to Dr. Savage yesterday, and he said that Obama looked cornered, you know, that speech Tuesday he gave. So I thought to myself, what is he cornered, you know? And I thought maybe he's just kind of pandering to Republicans right now so he could pass his, you know, the reform, medical reform thing he wants to pass. So Republican would go on his side, and maybe he wants to pass something else he got up his sleeve. So I want to ask you this question. What do you think about it?
That's an interesting theory, Alex. I don't think he's pandering to the Republicans. I think what he is in a corner. Dr. Savage, as usual, is right. To me, this is the political situation that Obama finds himself in. His poll numbers are dropping like a stone. His job approval ratings are getting lower and lower, and he knows it. He is also now, he owns the Afghan war. It is now occurring on his watch. And just like Lyndon Johnson, Johnson said this repeatedly, I do not want to be the president known for having lost Vietnam. Obama does not want to go down in history as having lost Afghanistan. He knows that if we lose Afghanistan, it will break his presidency. Yet the dilemma that he faces is he lied to the American people in 2008. He presented himself as an anti-war candidate. And he rode the support of the anti-war left all the way to power. So now his own Democratic base is on the verge of a rebellion. It will shatter the Democratic Party. This is exactly what happened to Johnson in the 1960s. The more he escalated the war in Vietnam, the more the liberal Democrats turned against him. And eventually they forced him out and he could not run for re-election in 1968. Obama fears this very dilemma. He knows it's deeply unpopular with his party. He knows it's even increasingly unpopular with most Americans. Yet, if he gives in his political mind, if he doesn't go with the surge, then he will be seen as the man who lost Afghanistan and he will lose and be crushed in 2012. So he is now trying to split the baby. He's trying to thread the needle. And so his argument is, let me get some troops in. Let's temporarily quell the situation. Let's stabilize everything in Afghanistan, but get them back as quickly as possible. So my left flank, my political left flank, doesn't desert me. The problem with that strategy is once you're in, this is what we saw in Vietnam. Once you're in, it's very hard to get out. And once we start losing hundreds and thousands of American men and women, once they start coming home in body bags, then what do we do? If we pull out right away, we will be seen as a paper tiger on the world stage. The Taliban and Al-Qaeda will have defeated us right there in Afghanistan, right there where 9/11 was imagined. It will be a tremendous blow to the United States. But if we stay, then the anti-war movement gets stronger. This is why, Alex, I've always said, war is the most serious decision a president can make. If you go in, you go in strong, you go in heavy. You go in for total victory. You take no prisoners, or you don't go in at all. But half measures, as we did in Vietnam, lead to ruin and defeat. Let's go to Joe in Denver. Joe, quickly, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call. Rove and Gingrich are nothing more than mercenaries, and they... like the last administration, this administration is evil. They're living off the blood of the young American kids, and neither administration wanted us to go in there for victory. It's all for profit. I will go to my grave believing that.
Joe, thank you for that call. Well said. What you have been seeing, my friends, over the last 9 years is a Republican, Democratic, corporatist elite that is slowly bankrupting this country. We need a conservative counter-revolution, and I believe we're on the verge of getting it. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much, my friend, for the incredible honor and privilege of guest hosting for you tonight. I can't tell you just again what a wonderful experience it's been. And Michael, I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. You're not just a brilliant talk show host, but you're also a very generous and kind man, and I really appreciate it. To all of you listeners out there in the Savage Nation, please go to michaelsavage.com. There are some absolutely superb must-read stories. This Washington State murderer, this man who killed four police officers, Maurice Clemens, apparently was planning to kill school kids. They were next on his hit list. This is the kind of sick psychopath Maurice Clemens was, and you can read all about it and so much more on michaelsavage.com. And speaking of that butcher who slaughtered four police officers in Washington State, the governor who commuted his sentence and allowed that animal to go free on the streets, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, is now coming out and publicly defending what he did. At a speech yesterday in Jacksonville University, according to CNN, Mike Huckabee answered questions about his decision to commute Maurice Johnson when he was the governor of Arkansas in 2000. And my friends, let's be very clear about this. This guy, Maurice Clemens, and I'm being very, it's a family show, so I'm being overly polite by calling him a guy. This animal, Maurice Clemens, was sent in prison and sentenced to 108 years in Arkansas. He was a known offender. He was somebody who committed theft, burglaries, robberies. He brought a gun to school. He was sentenced at the age of 16. Even when he was held in custody as he was being sentenced, this is a man who physically assaulted people within the prison system. The prosecutor said he was so dangerous that they had to have him shackled during the court hearing for fear that he would attack somebody. This man was an accident and a murder waiting to happen. This man was a psychopathic killer, and everybody knew it. It was only not a question of if, but a question of when. And after serving 11 years in prison, Huckabee, then governor, commuted that sentence and allowed Maurice Clemens to be freed on parole. The parole board granted him clemency, and boom, this guy was out. He then later apparently sexually molested a child, but he was even let go on that when he entered into Washington State. And then, last week, he ambushed those police officers on Sunday as they were at a coffee shop in Tacoma, Washington. And he slaughtered them and murdered them in one of the greatest mass acts of violence against police in this country. And yet, rather than take full responsibility that it was Mike Huckabee and his softness on crime, again, we have a false conservative who portrays himself as the potential heir apparent to be the Republican nominee in 2012. Rather than taking full responsibility and says, the buck stops with me. I made a mistake. I made a mistake in judgment. I was too soft on criminals. This man had no business being let go. No. Huckabee first came out and said, it was the Arkansas prison system that was to blame. It was the Washington State prison system that was to blame. He wasn't to blame. Now he switched his argument. Now he's coming out and saying, he's not a prophet. He's not somebody who can see into the future. Had he known what would have happened 9 years later, he wouldn't have commuted his sentence. He wouldn't have shortened his sentence. He would have let him serve the full 108 years. But he's now telling everybody he had a stack of papers, several inches thick, a deep file on this guy, Maurice Clemens, and he had been sent to prison at 16. and he had already served 11 years. And how can a 16-year-old be sentenced to 108 years in prison, have a 108-year sentence? It's unconscionable. It violated all of his sensibilities, his bleeding heart sensibilities. And because of his decision, 4 police officers are dead. A child has been raped. That person's life has been destroyed forever. The spouses of those brave police officers, their family members, their parents, their lives have been shattered. Those men will never come back. Those that protect us, the thin blue line against those criminal barbarians that would massacre us in our sleep if they could. Huckabee allowed this man to go free. When he was governor, he allowed another rapist. He pardoned another rapist, Dumond, and allowed him to go free. And this man, Dumond, then later raped and murdered a woman in Missouri. These are the supposed conservative leaders of our time. This is the same man who, when he challenged Mitt Romney and he challenged John McCain for the Republican presidential nomination, bragged about the fact that he supported amnesty for illegal immigrants. He supported raising taxes in some cases. When he was governor of Arkansas, he spent like a drunken sailor. This man is no conservative. He is a liberal in Republicans' clothing. He is a man who talks like a conservative but acts and governs like a liberal. He is somebody who has sold this country down the river with his policy on giving amnesty to illegal immigrants. He is not a true conservative. What he is a liberal Republican. And how long, my friends, do we have to be taken to the cleaners? How long, my friends, do we have to be betrayed by the likes of these pseudo-conservative leaders, the likes of Mike Huckabee? How many of our police officers have to die? How many women have to be raped and murdered? Because these guys won't do the most basic thing, protect us from criminals. We don't ask much from our politicians. Just keep us safe. He was given 108 years. There's a reason why he was given 108 years. Keep him locked up in a cage, the animal that this guy was. They can't protect us in our homes from criminals. They can't protect our borders from massive third world immigration. My friends, what good are they to us? They cannot defend public safety and good order. These aren't conservatives. These are left-wing Republicans. They didn't need a tax increase they didn't like. When was the last time a Republican balanced the budget? George Bush couldn't pass one balanced budget. Mike Huckabee saw one spending program go through the roof after another. And now we have the spectacle of Karl Rove and Newt Gingrich. Gingrich is apparently now one of the supposed frontrunners in 2012, along with Mike Huckabee. Now Newt Gingrich supports Obama's surge. He praises Obama for his supposed courage. You have Karl Rove, who's probably looking to get another job in a future Republican administration. Now Karl Rove has come out and supports Barack Obama surge policy. Karl Rove is the one who, just like Mike Huckabee, supports amnesty for illegal immigrants. He was the one that was pushing Bush, vowing that this would create a permanent Republican majority. I know Karl. He was running around Washington, D.C. for years under the Bush presidency. The problem with conservatives, he said, is we're shutting out the Republican vote. The Hispanic vote. We're not allowing the Republican vote to grow. If we would just support amnesty, we would have waves of Hispanics supporting the GOP. We would have a permanent Republican majority for decades. For what end? So what if you stay in power forever? What are you doing with that power? If you can't protect your nation's borders, if your culture is being diluted, if the very demographic composition of your country is being transformed right in front of your eyes, without even so much as a vote from the American people, without even so much as the support of the American people, what business do these leaders have in selling our jobs and outsourcing our jobs and our factories overseas? What business do they have in ramming one free trade deal after another down our throats, betraying the American workers, having us lose our manufacturing base, having us be literally invaded by illegal immigrants who are draining and bankrupting our hospitals, our schools, our welfare systems, all across? And what nobody wants to confront is right here in Washington, D.C. Everywhere I go, everything is in Spanish. I go to the bank teller, it's in Spanish. I go to a restaurant, I'm no longer addressed in English, I'm addressed in Spanish. I'm a stranger in my own country. Look, don't get me wrong. Let me be very brutally honest with you. I am a devout Roman Catholic. For me, it's not something I just do on Sundays as a form of heaven insurance. Put in my 1 hour in church and then go off golfing all day. I take my faith very seriously. And more than that, I am the child of immigrants. I know the dream and the aspirations of all of those Hispanics. I know why many of them come to this country. If I was living in Mexico, if I was living in Guatemala, I don't blame them. I honestly don't. This is not a question of being hostile to them. This is a question of saying one thing and one thing only. This is the United States of America, and we are founded upon the rule of law. This is a country that we demand you enter and leave legally. This is not Mexico. This is not some banana republic. And when you come into our country, if you come in legally, you are guests in our own house. We don't accommodate you. You accommodate us. You assimilate to our way of life, to our customs, to our traditions. You learn our language, not the other way around. And the same thing I would say if we were to immigrate to Mexico. And so the question that I have for all of you, my fellow friends in the Savage Nation, is do you believe that Governor Mike Huckabee is still a viable candidate in 2012? Do you believe that these fake conservatives like Karl Rove and Newt Gingrich, will they continue to lead the conservative movement? Or is there now a nationalist conservatism, a real conservatism developing? And who is that leader? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Do you think that the massacre in Washington State of four police officers, in which Maurice Clemens, the alleged murderer, sentence had been commuted by former Governor Mike Huckabee, do you believe this has cost Huckabee any chance of winning the Republican nomination in 2012? Is he a phony Republican and a phony conservative? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Tyler in Tucson, Arizona. Tyler, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Mike Huckabee is an absolute fraud. He couldn't be a worse fraud than he is. He deserves the sentence that should have been for Maurice Clemens. He should take all 108 years and do it himself. And then for every other guy that he commuted that's done any other further crimes, he deserves those penalties too. When he says that he didn't have anything to do with, or this didn't have anything to do with religious beliefs, but he talked to the guys who were doing the jail ministries, and those are the guys who convinced him that these guys had repented and changed and somehow become Christians.
And, oh, Tyler, that's an excellent point, my friend. That is an absolute excellent point. You know what? This is the thing about Mike Huckabee. Look, don't get me wrong. I have immense respect for evangelical Christians. He was a former Baptist minister. Believe me, when he ran in 28, because he was such a strong pro-life traditionalist on that issue, I said, God bless him that he was a former Baptist minister. Believe me, I love the fact that he was a Baptist minister, but he got suckered in on that one. The fact that they said they had converted and found Jesus, He bought that hook, line, and sinker. And then he used that to excuse an absolutely irresponsible act of commuting this guy's sentence. And by commuting this guy's sentence, I believe that Huckabee has blood on his hands. There's no getting around this. He can spin it now all he wants. Oh, if I could see 9 years into the future, I'm not a psychic. Excuse me, sir. Your job as the governor of Arkansas is to keep the people of your state and the people of this nation safe. If you can't do this, you're no good to us. And this guy clearly was a deranged individual who was a psychopath looking to explode at any moment. They don't just dish out 108-year sentences for the hell of it. And this is the problem that guys like Mike Huckabee don't understand. I don't care if you're 12 or 13 years of age. If you are a violent sociopath, if you are somebody who has no compunction about murdering or raping people or committing violence against people around you, you shouldn't be let go. I'm sorry, I don't give a damn who you are. And I believe that this act is the final nail in Mike Huckabee's political career, and it couldn't come soon enough. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe that Mike Huckabee's political career has been destroyed by the massacre in Washington State? I want to hear from you. Who do you think should lead the Republicans in 2012? Is Newt Gingrich the man? I want to hear from you. Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, let's go to Jim in Aberdeen, Washington. Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, this is to honor my nephew who died in Afghanistan on February 20th. He was a combat controller. He was killed with two other Green Berets on an IED. And I just want to honor him because he gave his life. He paid the ultimate price, and greater love hath no man than one that lays down his life for another. And I want to say to Obama or anybody that's listening, untie their hands and let them win this war. And I want to, my heart goes out to the Lakewood police because when they flew my nephew into from Dover to McCord Air Force Base in Washington, the Lakewood police escorted our the hearse and all of us through I-5, and I just, it sickens me to what happened up there, and I just hope if they're listening, my heart goes out to all those families that lost their lives up there, and I pray, Jim, for this president, and I hope, Jim, he does the right thing, but I just want them to untie their hands and let them win this war.
Jim, let me be very frank with you. I am now on the verge of tears, and I talk to people like you all the time who have lost their nephews, they have lost their sons, they have lost their daughters. Jim, can you please tell everybody out there, what was your nephew's name?
My heart's broke, and I just want people to know that I go up to his gravesite weekly.
Jim, what was his name?
Tim P. Davis. They did a march for him in October from Lackland Air Force Base to Hurlbut Field in Florida. That march that the guys did 829 miles in honor of him and 12 others that had died, the 23rd Special Ops.
Tim P. Davis. Jim, I want to thank you for that call, and I want to thank your nephew for his incredible service. Tim P. Davis, I know you're in heaven somewhere. You are looking down, and I want you to know that I speak now for the entire country of the United States, for everybody in the Savage Nation, and for everybody in this great land. You are a great hero. You are a great patriot. It is because of people like you that we have our freedoms today. And this war on terror, my friends, is about people like Tim Davis. Without people like Tim Davis, we would be massacred on the streets like dogs. And this is why I said it before, and I will say it again. It is irresponsible and morally reprehensible that this man should die in Afghanistan and not have the support and the resources that he needs to win. We are playing with real lives, with real family members. This is not a political game. And this is why I've said, you go into Afghanistan, you go in to win. You go in all the way, or you don't go in at all. That's my policy, fish or cut bait. It is the right thing to do. It is the American thing to do. It is the conservative thing to do. And we as conservatives should now speak with one voice on this issue. Jim, I want to thank you so much for that call, and I want you to know that my wife and I will say a special prayer for you and for your family tonight. Let's go to Mike in Boston. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, I shed a tear for Mr. Davis. I can't finish my call.
Thank you, Abe. Members of the Savage Nation, people get emotional. This is what the war is all about. And behind all the political bickering, behind all the political jostling, behind all the political games, this is what's at stake. And this man is visiting his nephew's gravesite. And I speak to these warriors all the time in D.C. And this is why I say to you, and I say this to all of the veterans and all of their families, you have my word of honor. God is my witness that I will stand with you shoulder to shoulder. You have no stronger champion and no stronger ally in Washington, D.C. than Jeff Kooner. Because I know my grandfather and my father fled communist persecution. And when my grandfather, the last time I saw him, he grabbed me and he hugged me. And he said to me, Jeff, you have to speak truth to power. You have to let the world know what a beacon of light America is. Without America, we in Eastern Europe would have been abandoned. And this is why I love America with every depth and fiber in my being. You are the last great hope of mankind. We are the last great hope of mankind. And if we do not realize this and stand up and defend our freedom, my friends, all of those that gave up their lives in Afghanistan will have died in vain. And that is something I will not allow to happen. Let's go to Pat in Wisconsin. Pat, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I do believe Huckabee has shot his chances for any kind of election as a Republican. I don't think we have any statesmen left. I don't think we have any patriots left. I'm a veteran. I'm a patriot. I'm a conservative. But I'm tired of turning the other cheek. Mrs. Clinton said that we are nation building. Okay, build this nation first. We can't do anything when this nation is broke.
Pat, that's an excellent point, my friend, and I want to thank you for that call. When are we going to have an America first foreign policy? When are we going to have an America first trade policy? When are we going to have an America first economic policy? This is something that I find absolutely mind-boggling. And now, my friends, what you are now seeing day after day, week after week, month after month, is a failed, crippled, incompetent administration that is now slowly destroying everything that we hold dear. But there is hope. There is now hope on the horizon, because the patriotism of people like Tim Davis, the patriotism of people like the audience of you out there in the Savage Nation, we represent the real, historic, eternal America. We represent the backbone and the soul and heart of this country. And I am telling all of you, our day is coming. Conservatism has been in exile, but it is now on the verge of coming back. We are going to win a tremendous victory in 2010. Believe me, the Democrats don't see what's coming. And the Republicans better hear us loud and clear. We don't want shyster politicians. We don't want the Karl Roves, and we don't want the Newt Gingriches, and we don't want the Mike Huckabees. We want patriots. We want people who love this country and will put America first. And then in 2012, you are going to see a political revolution like you have never seen before. Barack Obama, you promised us hope and change. My friend, you have no idea what you've unleashed. Conservative America has now awoken, and you did it. and for this, I thank you. And so I'm telling you, Mr. Obama, you better get ready, because you better enjoy that White House. And my advice to you is this. You like golf so much? Well, I guarantee you right now, after 2012, you can play golf all you want, because we are going to send you and your Chicago cronies packing. Let's go to Richard in San Francisco. Richard, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff. I want to comment on this Huckabee. You know, I watch Fox News because there's nothing else to watch, but Mike Huckabee, Karl Rove, Newt Gingrich, and Geraldo Rivera make me sick. I think what Fox is doing is getting set up for the fairness doctrine. And then if I could cover one other issue here,
sure,
as far as Afghanistan, I'm a former Marine. I suggest to all young kids, do not join the military, because I do not trust our government. In fact, I'm more afraid about government than I am Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. And let me give you an example here. You had that black conservative man that was selling those flag pins at the Tea Party, and he got beat up by the SEIU. Well, the Department of Justice defined that as a local disobedience, and they said he wasn't hit that hard. But now they want to prosecute the Navy SEALs for punching some terrorist in the mouth. That should tell you something right there, where our government's at.
No, I mean, Richard, look, there's no question about it. I mean, we have now left-wing lunatics running our government. You want to see Bolshevism in action. You want to see socialism in action. This is what is now happening here in the United States of America. And so we have given more rights to terrorists than we do to our soldiers. And we are now abandoning our soldiers, and we are now going to court-martial them because they punched some potential, allegedly. I don't even believe they did, but let's just say they did. Big deal. They punched him in the mouth. He had it coming. Frankly, if I was taking care of this guy, it would be a hell of a lot worse than a punch in the lip. I guarantee you that. But the issue is this, Richard. Don't lose sight of the enemy. For all of the problems of the government, remember this. We are still a constitutional republic. We still, if we want, I'm telling you, if the American people rise up, if we take back our government, we will take back our country. So to me, when I hear that the government is a greater threat than Al-Qaeda, Richard, I'm sorry, man, but I really, you have no idea how I disagree with you on this. Al-Qaeda will slaughter every single one of us. They will show no pity. They will show no mercy. These bunch of cowards in Washington, D.C., Richard, let me tell you something. If we as conservatives, if we can't politically annihilate the likes of Rahm Emanuel and David Axelrod and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, then frankly, we have no business running this country. Those political lightweights, that joke, that Barack the buffoon, that comrade in chief, that pathetic little lightweight lefty, he belongs to Marxist theories than be here in the White House. If we can't defeat that puff of smoke, then guys, forget it. I mean, forget it. So what I'm telling you is this. We run this country. They think they run us, but we run them. And you never give up to despair. Look, guys, I don't know how to say this to you. In 1940, Hitler dominated all of Europe. America was still not in the war. We were suffering not from a serious recession, but a Great Depression. It looked like we were about to enter a new dark age. Compared to the 1930s, this is peanuts. So what I'm telling all of you is very simple. If you stick to your principles, if you go out and talk to your friends and your family members, if you have the courage of your convictions, if you will speak truth to power, I am telling you, no force on earth can stop us. We have justice. We have morality. We have truth on our side. There is no greater weapon than that. Let's use it. Vic in Ohio. Vic, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Jeff. Thank you for taking the call, and thank you and Dr. Savage for continuing the message of borders, language, and culture. I graduated from West Point in 1969, and with a lot of my classmates, most of my classmates were disgusted that the one who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue chose that as a photo op on Tuesday night. I'd like to give a metaphor for what he calls his strategy. It would be as if he was the dealer at a five-card draw poker game, and sitting around the table is Stanley McChrystal. Stanley says, I'll take three cards, and lays his cards on the table. The dealer picks up the three and gives him two in return. And he's expected to continue in the game with four cards in his hand now. If he wants a full hand, he'll have to get the other card from one of the other players on the table. That's what this guy who spoke at West Point on Tuesday night has done to our troops and our military in Afghanistan.
Oh, thank you're completely Jeff. Right, Vic, and I want to thank you for that call. Look, Obama is shafting the military. There's no getting around it. And now he's asking General McChrystal to walk the plank. And like a good soldier, McChrystal's going to do the best job that he can with the hand that he's been dealt. But make no mistake about it, my friends, this decision will come back to haunt Obama. I'm going to make a prediction right now. Obama is going to go the way of Lyndon Johnson. Afghanistan will break Obama the way Vietnam broke LBJ. And after LBJ, we had a conservative resurgence in this country that eventually led to the Reagan Revolution. The same thing is going to happen. My friends, our hour is near. Our time to run this country is near. And pretty soon, even that shyster and that fraud in the White House is going to realize it. We are the future. He is the past. I'm Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
In the end, our security and leadership does not come solely from the strength of our arms. It derives from our people.
The ultimate strength of our country and our cause will lie not in powerful weapons or infinite resources or boundless wealth, but will lie in the unity of our people.
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, there was Obama and there was Lyndon Johnson. And my friends, what we are now seeing is history repeating itself. And I believe now that Obama has committed the fatal error of his presidency. This is the moment on Tuesday night that you saw the end of Obama as the president of the United States. He is now politically a dead man walking. He is now politically in free fall. And now he has lost control over his presidency. Once he made that decision to send those troops into Afghanistan without giving them a clear strategy for victory. And just like Johnson, he is now going to see the American people slowly turn against the war. He is going to see his own party turn against him. And he is going to see his political coalition disintegrate right in front of his very eyes. And now it is up to us, we conservatives. We are the ones who have to defend America. We have to defend God, country, and family. We have to defend the great values that made this country great. And now, over the next couple of years, what you are going to see, my friends, is now a counter-revolution brewing. The more they try to ram socialism down our throat, the more intense the reaction is going to be. And my big fear is that we conservatives now must not let up as Obama's poll numbers keep dropping. We must now realize we are on the cusp of a great political comeback. We must never now relent. We must never give up. And I am telling you, my friends, this decision in Afghanistan, he thinks he's been so politically slick. He thinks he's played this so brilliantly. Now we are seeing him for the incompetent, inept president that he is. And as I said during the presidential election campaign, and I will say it again, he is our affirmative action president. During the primaries, when he ran against Hillary, during the campaign against Obama, against McCain, the mainstream media refused to hold him accountable. They took his application for president and they put it right at the top. Where was the background checks? Who looked at his references? Who looked at his connections to Bill Ayers? Who looked at his connections to Reverend Wright? who looked at all of his connections to the sleazy world of Chicago politics, who looked at his Marxist socialist background. Nobody did, except talk radio and a few blogs and internet outlets. That's it. Well, now, my fellow conservatives, we are being shown to have been prophets. We have shown to have been right. And now, slowly, is our moment. We now have a president who clearly doesn't know what he's doing. He is out of his league and he is out of his depth. We are going to have to pick up the pieces of the wreckage. And when we do, we will restore America to the greatness that our forefathers is now coming. And the only question is, who is that leader? Is there anybody out there? We shall soon see. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.